Hello, and welcome to Coffee to Close, where we talk to interesting people with passions and pursuits in and around Brisbane, California, that beautiful yet rowdy, fiercely independent town on the border of San Francisco. Our hope is that you will be inspired and that in the process, we will raise some money for our local nonprofits. Sit back and enjoy. I'm your host, Ron Davis. Today, I'm here with Camille Salmon, Brisbane resident. For a long time.
40 years.
40 years. And she started Brisbane Dance Workshop. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and maybe why she came to Brisbane and when and kind of what surrounded that. So why don't you start there? When did you come and why?
So I moved to Brisbane with my husband, Mark Salmon, in 1977. And the reason we moved, kind of a roundabout story. I moved to the Bay Area to go to graduate school at Mills. I was in the dance department. And I had, before that, been on the East Coast dancing and taking class, dancing with companies and taking class in New York and in Connecticut, and then moved here to go to graduate school. And while I was at graduate school, I was also performing with various companies in the Bay Area. At that time, there were quite a few modern dance companies. And I was choreographing. In that time, you could also be an artist and live in San Francisco and afford to do your own work. I met Mark, and we were married. And when I found I was pregnant, at the time, Mark and I were living partially in a theater space because we were both in a theater company as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized, this little Louisiana girl has no idea, number one, how to raise a child in the city, because I grew up next door was a cow pasture, and two, well, I guess I'll probably never dance, both of which were kind of ridiculous notions, but that was the idea. So Mark said to me, I have the perfect place to raise children. I had never been to Brisbane. And so...
So he had moved out of Brisbane.
Yeah, oh yes. Mark was not living in Brisbane. Mark was living, had gone to USF, and he was living in the city and working in the city with his construction company there and also acting. And that's how I met him. He was in a theater company.
You know, he drew the plans for our audition on our house back in the early...
Really?
Mid-80s, I think it was.
How cool.
Anyway, go ahead.
First time I came to Brisbane... we come down Tunnel Road, and when we get to the light, everything is closed off totally. There are police cars everywhere. There are policemen in riot gear closing off the street. And I'm thinking, are we going to move here? Really? And it was the last day of Western days. And apparently they had had a kind of a free-for-all, and everybody got called in. And they had closed off the street. And I'll never forget thinking, I can't believe I'm going to consider living in this town.
I heard Brad Kermit was in the downstairs of the city hall in the basement on the phone calling in people to come and help because they were barricaded into the city hall.
It was amazing. And he rolled down the window and this policeman came by and said, I'm sorry, you can't get into town. And he said, I'm Mark Salmon. And they said, oh, just Salmon's son. Well, okay, you can drive in. And I was thinking, what am I doing? And we came, and that was my welcome to Brisbane. I will never forget that. But we found a place here in Brisbane. I called it the Little Cuckoo Clock House. They had the little rocks. Karen Cunningham bought it later.
Glen Park.
Glen Park Street, yes. We lived there.
I sold that one a couple of times.
Yes.
Cool house.
Cool house. Mm-hmm. Sweet little house. And we lived there. And I was pregnant for Jesse. And so I had quit choreographing and dancing a lot. And once Jesse was born, my first, I thought to myself, well, I'm probably not going to dance again. I mean, you know, in those days, you just didn't dance after you had a child. And Mark's sister, Michelle Salmon, looked at me and said I was absolutely out of my mind and that Brisbane actually would be a perfect place for me to teach children's dance. I had taught a lot of children's dance. So I spoke with the city at the time, and they said, why don't you teach up at Lippman Middle School in an after-school class and for after-school programs? I said, great. And just about the time I started doing this, my friend from Louisiana, who was dancing with SF Ballet, moved in, and it was her mother who was my dance teacher. She was living with us, and she said, I'll do it with you.
Hmm.
And so Kathy and I would teach up at Lippman in the gym, and we would charge 25 cents a class. And we had a jug in the front door, and the parents would come in, and they'd throw their 25 cents in. And they'd be gone for an hour and 15 minutes, something like that. And then they'd pick the kids up. And one day, and we must have had 25, 30 children in these classes.
Oh, yeah.
It was everywhere. And one day we realized what the parents were doing, smart parents, is they were bringing their kids to class, and then they were all going to the 23 Club or the Brisbane Inn and having drinks and enjoying themselves for an hour and 20 minutes, and they'd come back and pick up the children. Mm-hmm. It was great. We did a couple of shows that way. And then when Kathy moved back to Louisiana, by that point in time, this was 5-6 years later, I started to teach most of the classes, and I realized that one of the things about Brisbane, which was really, really unique, was because of the geography, because that it is built kind of like a horseshoe, where most of the people are within that horseshoe arena, so to speak. A lot of the children were not getting out of Brisbane. So what was happening here was happening in town. And a lot of the children at that time were not able to afford dance classes or afford to have that experience mm-hmm. of theater and dance and vocal. And so we decided to form a nonprofit, because with a nonprofit, you can get grants or you can ask for donations to help support so that the community becomes the kind of driving financial support to be able to provide scholarships and those kind of extra needs that an organization needs. And it was based on the entire goal and the entire mission was knowing that within every child there is a creative being that needs to be born. And that was what it was about. So we were not, and we continue in the early ages, not to teach dance as a step, not to teach dance as a right and a wrong, but to teach dance as movement so that children can understand spatial awareness, they can understand their own body awareness, that they can begin to feel that the way they move is just as important as anyone near them. And so that begins to give rise to the artist within them, that creative artist who knows that they're safe, that they're willing to take chances, that they can begin to really expand their boundaries in terms of who they are and how they want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And so that's the seed of Brisbane Dance Workshop.
It's also probably so cool that people, the kids, can just try something.
Yes.
And that so many people sit on the couch and watch TV and look at other people do things that they've never been able to try. And maybe had they had the opportunity to try, might have found out that they had the gift or they had a knack for it, or that they really loved it and they wanted to pursue it.
I agree. And I think that there's something else also to be able to find out that what you thought you couldn't do or didn't have interest in opens the door for you to be able to think differently mm-hmm. and to be able to accept others that are different than you, and together to begin to collaborate and brainstorm and think out of the box for real positive results.
Yeah.
Because, and that was really important, because that's a creative process. That's art making. And that was our initial, and it continues to be the seed, the real kind of core of what Brisbane Dance Workshop is. So that if you choose at a certain time when you get older to be a dancer or a performer or a singer, then you've got the skills and you can jump from that place and really begin to study and train. But at the same time, if you choose to go into any other field, you're going to have the confidence. You're also going to know how to collaborate. You're going to know how to be able to take a chance. You're going to understand what it is to extend your hand in friendship, how you need to support others and others can support you for a common goal. All of those things become so important. And the only person that you're competing with is yourself.
Yeah.
That's the only person.
So when you put together the nonprofit part of it, was that, did you find that to be difficult, or what year was that? And was there heavy rules? And
it's much harder to become a nonprofit nowadays than it was then. We put the nonprofit together in 1983, and the community at that time was a lot smaller. So we had a lot of people who were really wanting to help us, who helped us write the articles and incorporation and helped file it with the state. People who had done that and had understood that, they were there right on the doorstep ready to be able to do that. Because this was kind of the first nonprofit.
Yeah, really?
In Brisbane to be formed. Yeah. And so that was an exciting, I mean, with the exception, I should say, of the Lions Club and, the, you know, those are stable kind of long-term organizations. But in the realm of that, that was a fairly new idea to begin that.
So tell me, you also were involved on the school board. What led to that?
So this is an interesting story. What led to that? My son came home, the oldest came home one day, and he was reading a story that said that, a Dick and Jane story. And in the story, now it's the same book I read when I was probably in first grade. That's not what got me, but that, interestingly enough, when he read the story about Dick going to the moon and Jane was going to stay home and told him goodbye, it just hit me that that was not something I wanted my son to learn. I wanted him to read, but I didn't want him to think that men went to the moon and women stayed home and took care of the kids.
Really?
And
that's
everything.
The whole start of it?
That was the whole start of it.
That's pretty
that
cool.
That was the whole start of it. And I remember going to the class saying, I don't know about these stories. I read these stories in the 50s. You know, we're in the 80s. And they said, well, you'll have to bring it up with the superintendent. And that's what started my wanting to be on the school board, because I thought it was time to make some changes. I thought it was time to put a spark into education. Plus, my whole belief that children learn by doing and being creative and getting that spark of curiosity, of wanting to be curious about things. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to learn. And that was something that I wanted my own children. So that's what got me to run for the school board.
So how long did you stay on?
12 years.
What would you say, is anything popped to your mind that was the most significant thing that got changed during that period of time, or
yes,
challenge was that came up?
Yeah. Well, we always had the challenge with the funding. But one of the major changes during the time that I was on the school board was the actual focus on the way subjects were taught. During my tenure, all the classrooms were redone. They were no longer in desks. They were at tables. We started an arts program in the schools. So a lot happened. And there were some tense times because it was also budgeting concerns at that time, which, mm-hmm, you know, continues all the time. But having Steve Waterman came on board at that time, who had a very different approach on how to engage children in learning, and I was a full believer in that, that if you engage them in a fun, exciting, and curious way, that they're going to learn it. And you have them in classrooms that are fun to be in, that are good colors, that are exciting, then they're going to want to be at school.
That's great. So the back to the dance workshop, I just came to mind the time that you got the adults involved.
Oh, yes.
Got me up there dancing.
You did.
And who else was on that?
At some point I decided, well, actually it was when we started, had Mission Blue, and we had the capacity and the ability to do more than one show. I wanted the students to know what it meant to really do the work. And do the work means that you not do only one show, but you do many, so that you understand stamina, so that you can begin to see what your experience is for each show, and can you deepen it, can you make it more exciting, so that you can have that own self-reflection. And you have to have a few shows for that. The preschoolers and the kindergartners are not up for four shows. And they shouldn't be. They're, mm-hmm, they're young, you know. They don't have that stamina yet and that focus, and it shouldn't be placed upon them. So the idea was, on the Saturday night when we did the show and the preschoolers and kindergartners weren't performing, that I would have community members perform the preschool show. And that's how that started. And you were one. I'm trying to think who else. There were so many people that did this.
John Mazza.
And you know, the year that John Mazza did it, that was so great. His son, Nick, who was with BDW, was also one of the things that Brisbane Dance Workshop does. We try and make stepping stones for the children in many areas. And one of the areas is those students who are really interested in musical theater is to let them perform with the Players, which is the organization I work with in San Francisco, which is a musical theater company, part of what I do out there. And so Nick at that year was a player.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was singing and dancing in musical theater. So it was so great the year that you guys did it. You had the canes and the top hat.
Mm-hmm.
Nick got to be, we were doing the jesters dance. They were jesters. You guys were jesters.
Yeah, we were jesters.
Yeah, you were jesters. And Nick got to sing and dance with his dad on stage. It was so cool. It was a great one.
So have anybody who's gone through your classes had any, did they take it on as their whole... their whole deal? Were they inspired to keep it going?
Quite a few, actually. Yeah. Quite a few, yeah. Marissa Brooks, who's from here, she graduated from State in dance. She's one. A lot of the students, all the high school students, especially presently right now, are all in their high school musicals. Are they all in their high school vocal?
Oh, that's great.
Are they all in their dance companies? So
that's fabulous.
That there's a lot of them. I cannot remember her name right now, but there's students that we have had that have performed with companies.
Yeah.
You know, and there are students who were dancing and were dance majors who are now lawyers. Cameron Bruce is one of them. She came through BDW and then worked all through high school with a high school theater and dance company, then moved to New York and went to Columbia Law School. And
great.
She's great. She'll always say, I only do this because I danced.
Well, that's good. You know, it's really great to have you on here, and I'm sure we could go on forever talking about all kinds of things. Where you came from, Louisiana.
Yes, indeed. We can talk Cajun land.
and I have some distant relatives from not too far away from there. And there's a lot of other things we could probably talk about. Brisbane, any if we could leave it on one note, anything in particular you could think of that when you came to Brisbane that you weren't ready for? Something that was completely out of the box, different. And I know it's been a while since you got here, but...
Well, hills, hello. When I first moved here, the mere thought that I was living on the side of a hill, of a mountain, was pretty amazing to me, the geography. I mean, I came from Louisiana. It's flat. There was that. The other thing, but, you know, I came from Louisiana, from a little small town of 1,500.
Yeah.
So being in Brisbane was not that different at that time. It was a small town.
It has a certain level of charm just because of that.
Just because of that, you know. So you knew everybody in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that from my upbringing, from where I was brought up. So that wasn't a big jump for me. It was a bigger jump for me living in San Francisco and living in New York than it was for me to live in Brisbane, to speak. And everybody knew everybody, and somehow everybody was related in some fashion. But I knew all of that growing up. So that wasn't what was so different for me.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thank you
for
coming and joining me today. It's been a pleasure, and I will look forward to having you back on at some point. We can talk about something else.
Yes, we can talk.
All right.
Thanks, Ron.
I guess that wraps it up. Thank you for listening to this episode of Coffee to Close. Coffee to Close is a fundraiser for our local nonprofits and charities in Brisbane. And I will be donating $100 per episode to one of the charities or nonprofits in town. Coffee to Close is also sponsored by Davis & Company Real Estate. You can find us at rondavis.com and Madhouse Coffee, which is madhousecoffee.com. Both are located in Uptown Brisbane at the top of the main business district on Visitation Avenue at 400 Visitation. Come pay us a visit. We'd love to see you.